off the ball rugby.
It hasn't worked out well for Ireland, particularly, which were ultimately the paymasters. But then at the same time, Ireland weren't paying James Lowe's salary. Leinster were. He wasn't on a national contract.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
We want to talk about the Camogie this weekend too, because particularly Group 2 is really important, because this is now the deciding factor for the quarters. So you were at Kilkenny, Clare, last weekend.
Yes.
And effectively that was a... Clare ends up with two winner-take-all games at the end of it, where they knew a result in either fixture against Kilkenny or Offaly would qualify them. But Kilkenny have come out of what we'll call the weaker group. They know they're already qualified. And now Clare need to get the business done against Offaly last weekend. So how much better were Kilkenny than Clare first?
Yeah, I suppose just before I get into the game, for anyone who isn't familiar with it, change to the Camogie structure this year, which might be of interest for the hurling aficionados when there's so much talk about changing structures. I absolutely am. So because last year they saw like a lot of heavy beatings in the group stages in the round robin, they decided to seed the four semi-finalists from the Camogie Championships last year. They went into Group 1, all guaranteed to at least progress to the quarterfinals. But the top two teams in Group 1 go straight into the semi-final, bottom two go through to the quarterfinal. There's been complaints that there's no jeopardy in the group, but we'll get to that later. We talked about that with the players themselves and got some really great feedback from them. And then Group 2 were the rest of the six teams. Only two come out of that and they go into the quarterfinal. But as a result, we've had competitive games across every fixture. The most runaway one so far was the game that I was at the weekend, probably, which was Clare and Kilkenny. Like you said, quarterfinal up for grabs. I tipped Clare. I really had. I've been so impressed with them all season. They were undefeated in the league. They only lost out to Waterford in extra time in the Munster Championship. They'd been beaten well by them the year before. Clare were really unlucky to lose Lorna McNamara. If people haven't heard of her, you know, just look her up. She was the informed Camogie player in the entire country this year and did her ACL, unfortunately, halfway through the round robin campaign. So that was always going to be a bit of a tough ask for them to come back. But even the game after, like, Roisin Begley in the forward line really stood up. And fair play to Kilkenny. They quelled my suspicions about them being a team in transition. They were outstanding, especially their inside forward line. Really, really dangerous. You know, they put 5 goals past Offaly. They put 4 goals past Clare. Ran away with it really in the second third. Really impressed with their running power from the half back line midfield. Laura Green picked up player of the match, 3 points from play. So now Kilkenny can look forward to an away fixture against Wexford, who unbelievably, after that dramatic Leinster final win in extra time, have cemented their place in the relegation playoff.
Yeah.
Kilkenny have a game in hand. They can kind of experiment with however they like. And we have your Offaly team facing Clare at home in the other, basically, winner goes through to the quarterfinal.
It's a brilliant quarterfinal, essentially. I'm going to it on Saturday for Off the Ball. Look, I'll hold my hands up here. When I saw the format initially in the change, I thought this looks terrible. Because my first thought was exactly what you said about the jeopardy. I thought the concern here will be that the four teams who are well placed to win it, and then one team, if this format persists, will end up just out of it. And I thought that Kilkenny would probably handsomely beat all the other teams. But the reality is, and what's made this a good format, in my opinion, is that the teams at the bottom of Group 2 have all been really competitive in the matches against each other. So Limerick, Wexford, Offaly, Dublin, they've all been pretty close games. So they've all been great, and they've been jockeying for position. Clare, that little step, I think, still ahead of those other teams, and I still expect Clare will qualify this Saturday.
Yep.
But it also means that there's hope for Limerick, for Offaly, for Dublin. I know Wexford have had a miserable year, and now it's about staying up. But the reality is, even, say, Offaly coming out of intermediate from last year, it meant that they had 2 or 3 games at their level, which was much better than if they were in a group where they had Galway or Cork or Waterford up against them. And next thing, they take a few heavy kick-ins along the way. I actually think the system's worked out reasonably well. But I do appreciate it. The other one, particularly when I saw some of Cork's experimental players at the start, I wondered, were managers maybe not going to embrace it entirely, where it becomes a slight phony war, where you decide, well, you know, we're going to play them in a semi-final or a quarter-final in a few weeks' time. Let's not go hard at it. So Group 1 is what it is, would be the way I'd look at it. But Group 2 has been a success.
It has. And, I mean, Limerick also well within a shot of qualifying for the quarterfinals as well.
They just want to take care of their own business
this weekend.
Yeah.
So I think Clare just need a win or a draw. And even if Clare do lose to Offaly, it'll come down to score difference. And they're looking probably at fairly well for that as well. So it's looking most likely that Clare will go through. But it means it's coming down to the last weekend. And every team has had really competitive games because we've spoken so often in Camogie, and now it's coming into the hurling chat about the gulf between the top couple of teams and the rest. And this format's just been a really good way for teams to get competitive games into them. And like, winning as such a cliche, but winning is a habit. So when teams start to get that momentum, like Clare have done this year, they've been my team of the championship and the league so far, because they got their wins under their belt in Division 1B. They beat Dublin in the final and went to extra time at Waterford, who have been in outstanding form as well. So it just shows that sometimes you don't need to be playing against the very best teams and getting a clattering. Whereas if you're playing amongst your level, bring it up, and then hopefully by the time we reach quarterfinal, semi-final stage, you'll be peaking and you'll be ready to face the other teams. From the Group 1 perspective, the whole shadow boxing thing, I was thinking like Cathal Murray, especially Ger Manley, having faced each other in the All-Ireland final last summer, we're going to see completely experimental teams from both sides. But we haven't.
No.
And in fairness to Cork, it might look like an experimental team, but they've had no choice. I was speaking to Amy O'Connor yesterday about the change in the panel and how it felt and how Cork have adapted from having lost so many players from last year's panel.
For the first few league games, we only had two or three that had started the previous year, which is absolutely mental. And we lost 14 from our panel. And I think any team in the country, any sport, male or female, if they lose 14 from their panel, they're going to struggle for a little bit. And I think we were under no illusions that that was probably going to happen. And I think, you know, we just needed to just go with it. It probably wasn't the smoothest. It didn't look great. But we have the opportunity, or we had the opportunity, to play new players that probably wouldn't have gotten game time previously because we were such a settled team. You might have one or two in or out week on week, but we were generally a settled team with probably a settled number of subs that would come on any given day. So we had the opportunity to do that, and hopefully we'll reap the rewards later on in the year for that, because, you know, those girls now have gotten game time that wouldn't have previously. And you can see that with, like, Ava Fitzgerald there. She was, you know, Ava probably didn't play a whole pile in the last couple of years, but her athleticism is incredible. And it was just like, okay, Ava now is forced into playing. We'll find the best position for Ava. She can play anywhere because of her athleticism, but she's really making that wing back spot her own. So it's like, if you can figure out where these players' abilities and, you know, their strengths lie, and give them that game time, they'll only get better. So it's been positive from that point of view. Obviously, we would have loved to have picked up a few more wins, and the Munster campaign was a bit disappointing. But in the grand scheme of things, like where we were at in terms of what we had lost, we just had to go with it and take it.
That's great news for Cork. For the other teams who are trying to bridge the gap to the top four or five, that's the scary part, where you go, you know, they've lost over a dozen players, as Amy has mentioned there. They rebuild and they're still pretty competitive.
Yeah,
that's not a great sign if you're trying to catch up.
No, but they had such an up and down start to the season, especially the Munster Championship loss to Tipperary. You were thinking, is this the start of a rebuilding phase for this Cork team? We saw it maybe over the past couple of years with Kilkenny. They've been such a powerhouse, and naturally when you have retirements like Laura Tracy at centre-back and the Mackies stepping away, Amy herself was injured, Aisling Thompson was injured, Clodagh Finn is injured, Saoirse McCarthy, we've only seen her back in the last game or two. So it was really hard to tell what kind of team Cork were working with.
You've just reeled off All-Star after All-Star.
Multiple All-Star after All-Star. So it was very hard to see. And I think they had about an 8-week break then because of losing out in Munster so early. And it's probably the best thing that they could have done, because they were able to regroup. Amy's back, Saoirse's back. Aisling Thompson is back training. She dislocated her elbow in the league against Kilkenny. Really, really nasty injury. It was there in the day. Everyone kind of assumed she was going to be out for the season when it happened, because it was awful, you know. Something that's so pivotal as well to the game, to Camogie. So fair play to her. Don't know if we'll see her in action this weekend. So Cork are currently 2-2. Mm. They beat Galway away in the first round. So mentally for Cork, I think that was huge. Just getting a win over Galway.
It doesn't quite make up for the All-Ireland final, but at the same time,
at the same time, when you've had such a poor campaign and you've got a lot of younger girls on the panel, you need to get a championship win under your belt early. Otherwise, the season does get away from you pretty quickly. And to go up to Galway and get the win, Galway probably weren't at their strongest, but they did put out a strong starting 15, which is good to see. And every team so far in Group 1 has put out what I would deem their best 15. There's been no huge experiments. There's been no real one-sided one-sided result, which is brilliant. And that's what everyone was hoping to see. So Cork welcome Waterford now this Sunday to Parky Ring. If they beat Waterford, guaranteed spot in the semi-final. Mm. Galway host Tipperary. Tipperary are currently sitting bottom, so they're 0-2, and Galway and Waterford both have one win each. So the semi-final spot is really up to play for. And I think that quarter-final in the Camogie might become a bit of a graveyard. So they're going to want to avoid it completely.
Potentially, because I know you were talking to Colin Murray after the Waterford game a few weeks ago, and you were asking about, you know, where Galway were at, and he was talking about some of their injuries as well. But he was like, they wanted to go full throttle at Group 1, and there was no idea from his point of view that they wanted to take a longer route. He would much prefer if they had the extra week off.
Absolutely. I mean, you could end up coming up against a Clare team or a Limerick team in Croke Park.
The hurlers playing the same
day. The game could be on as a doubleheader with the hurlers. So you've got that full expectation of an underdog coming up against you, not to mind an underdog with their entire county behind you. So that could be a huge factor on the day. So these two games as well in Group 1 this weekend are going to be really interesting, because Waterford especially, I think they are going to be gunning for Cork and Parky Ring. Mm-hmm. And they got a win over them in the league this year, so they know they can do it. And they were so close to beating Galway at home in the championship this year, but Galway just kind of stuck it out, ended up winning by 3 points. And Mick Boland, he's managed a load of those Cork girls underage. He would have managed Saoirse McCarthy to a county final with Corsi, so he'll know that Cork team fairly inside out as well. And Cork still have a lot of young players, so there might be areas that Waterford feel that they can exploit.
I do wonder at what point do Waterford put Eve Rocket back into their team or not? Mm-hmm. She's had a sitting brief, was watching on when he watched that Galway game.
Yeah.
Has obviously been a massively key player for them, but seems to now be on the fringes of that team this season. Like, I still think when you've got an all-star forward, she gets back in at some point.
Oh, 100%. Oh, yeah, and like, herself and Lorraine Bray were missing. Lorraine Bray was injured for that Galway game, and they were missing that impact. Like, Lorraine is such a leader. She's their captain.
It's too, like, that's two big, like, two big, like, long-term leaders in that team not available.
Yeah. I don't know if we'll see Lorraine Bray this weekend injury-wise or not. Whether Niamh Rocket gets the shout against Cork, you'd imagine she would.
Hmm.
But I suppose remains to be seen. When you take a look then at the Galway Tip coming off a Munster final success, they'd be disappointed with the two losses, but probably happy with the performance against Cork. Like, it was a really good game, and given that Cork absolutely hammered them out the gate in the first round of the championship last year, it shows that they've really, you know, they've brought their levels up so much. They drew them in the league this year, and they could still, like, if they get a win, and if Cork get a win, it'll all just probably come down to scoring difference, because you'd have three teams tied on 3 points. So it's, for me, it's been a really successful campaign so far. It'll all tell now when we get to the quarterfinal stage as to whether there is a real gap between the Group 1 teams and the Group 2 teams when they're facing off against each other.
Yeah, look, I think again, if it's assuming it's going to be Kilkenny and Clare who come through, I don't think they're going to be too far off. The teams who they face from third and fourth from Group 1, it's the quick turnaround is the killer. So I know you'd be going to Croke Park for the media day on Monday, but like, for those teams, no matter like who plays this weekend, so one team is going to have a 7-day turnaround and one will have an 8-day turnaround to go into a quarter final. Or maybe if you're in Group 1, you've been disappointed by not getting your semi-final place, and then you turn around to play, particularly Kenny, who've been in great form, or Clare, who might have come off the back of a really good win on Saturday to qualify. So it leaves them a little bit open. And do you know what? I'm actually a bit invested in Tipperary's story now, because I enjoyed Claude McIntyre, particularly, was on, you know, the documentary that came out last year, and it was from two seasons ago, but they got to the quarter final. And because it was so embedded in the camp, You appeared, by the way, in that documentary. Questions, yeah. Somewhere Rachel just appears, you know, down at Media
Day. Yeah, I'm like lurking around the background of that Nolan Park one.
But I watched it because it was up for the television awards this year, so I was on the committee for that, so I got a good chance to go back and rewatch it in detail. And straight away, I was very much struck by, like, I want Tipperary to do well after watching their prep for that quarterfinal.
Oh, yeah, and they have been so unlucky in terms of semi-finals in the last couple of years, and they've given up leads with a couple of minutes to go and then end up losing. Last year, they were just beaten. They were unlucky. They lost Kareem Blair really early to a fairly serious injury in the semi-final. It probably threw them a little bit when you lose a rock like that in your defence. But they're class this year. They've got Emer McGrath back. It's kind of been like touch wood so far for Camogie this year, Barlorn and McNamara. It's been like the year of returning ACL stars.
Mm.
So Emer McGrath coming back for Tipperary has been huge. She is immense. especially, you know, seeing her play in Semple Stadium before before her cousins and everything, when Tipperary seniors were playing afterwards. It's really special. And Maria Deviston as well, heading up the defence of that group. They've got some younger players coming in. Caoimhe Staclum, I think she's only doing her leaving cert this year. She doesn't look out of place in that senior team at all. When you take a look at the Galway team then, you've got Niamh McPeak and Áine Keane. They're both coming back from ACLs. So it's a really exciting time for Camogie, I think.
Still kind of unknown whether Eamonn's going to be involved or not. It's very much kind of a maybe, maybe not.
So yeah, we'll see. According to Colin Murray, we'd be lucky to see her for the rest of the season, that she dislocated her shoulder. But
I've heard Manchester say that before, though. This idea of, oh, well, you know, yeah, and you see them, because I think she was doing a bit of kind of like a walk around with the team ahead of the last.
Oh, she was doing running. Yeah, she was doing running drills, like. So I reckon we'll see her.
Yeah, I take it with a pinch of salt, as the manager say. We'd be lucky to see anything out of that player this year. And it's like, well, if that was the case, would they not be not involved in the panel right now?
Yeah, I think that's even with Aaron Nyland earlier in the year with that ankle injury, I thought he was going to be written off for the whole season. You know, I was like, oh, it's so unlucky for this guy. And then all of a sudden, he starts the under-20 hurling final against Clare, sprinting around the place. We're like, oh, he's absolutely perfect. It's grand. There was no need to be worrying about that.
I'm really glad the injury wasn't a bad one. Because when he was featured in the 20s, I was like, oh, maybe this is a little bit worse. Because his hamstring last year just hampered his development entirely for a whole year.
Yeah, but he seemed to be flying. Like,
oh, he is, yeah.
So it is great, but it just does go to show that you can never really trust the injury reports when they're coming in.
Do you know what's nice about Camogie at the moment? We're not talking about Scorts this year.
And we weren't talking about it until you brought it up.
I don't want to go back down that way. But the point being that I remember last year we were doing, on this very show, we were doing the review with Sarah Donovan and with Niamh Rockett, actually, after the finals last year. And we were saying that was the one bad thing about the summer. We got this great All-Ireland final right at the end of it. We had an interesting semi-final with Galway and Tip. But aside from that, Scorts just kind of dominated the discourse last year.
It did.
Well, this year, you can argue about the format all you want and whether it's right or whether it's wrong. At least we're actually talking about what's happening on the pitch, as opposed to this time last year. It felt like that was even dragging on after that, because we were looking at what teams are going to wear Scorts, what teams aren't going to wear them.
Yeah, it was...
Why are the Ulster teams still wearing them?
I know.
Like, it went on and on and on.
It did. And I think all of the players will be the first to agree that they're so delighted that we're not on our talking about the Scorts. And we've had a really, really competitive season so far. Some brilliant battles, and looking forward to. So you'll be at the Offaly game this weekend.
Yeah. Parents gonna be like 29 degrees. Gonna be a little bit overcast, but like again, I'm all for it.
Yeah, and great again to have the Camogie quarterfinals as doubleheader with the hurling semifinals.
Yeah. Now the only one thing is, let's see how the ticket sales go. Like, there was a lot of fans from your county who were really getting worried about the tickets, and I was trying to reassure a couple of people when I stuck up that they were on general sale yesterday at noon. I was like, don't worry, it might get to 70 odd thousand territory, and like, Cork fans particularly are just crazy for tickets, as we saw last week, but it's unlikely it's going to sell out. Because I did wonder about this, you know, if the Camogie team, you're the team who's on as part of the Saturday doubleheader, Cork and Galway is going to probably be close enough to a sellout.
Yeah,
I still think if you're a Camogie fan and you're interested in going on Saturday, there still will be tickets available.
I would say so.
I'd be surprised if it's sold out entirely.
Yeah, I would too, especially because of the likelihood of the teams that are going to be playing in the quarterfinal as well, you know. I don't know if it'll work that way, I'm actually not sure, but I would love that if either Limerick or Clare are there, that it'll be arranged that they'll be able to play before.
On the I think it would, be, I think it would make sense. I think it sucks if you're the other team who's due to play them.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
So say if it ends up being Tipperary versus Clare next Sunday, you're going in where Clare are going to have a sizable amount of support already sitting in the ground.
Yeah, that's true. Probably it's a big disadvantage, but it would just be such a great experience for the players. I mean, like, we saw it last year with Tip and Kilkenny, with Camogie going to extra time and Clodagh McIntyre scoring the goal just before Oisín scored the goal for the seniors. Like, they were nearly replicas of each other.
Yeah, I know. I think it's a much better way to do it. And I think it's a good way to do it, because it also guarantees them both the TV coverage and also the fact that some fans will be in there beforehand. And sometimes when they hit their own weekend once upon a time, those kind of felt a little bit lost. I remember the quarterfinals went back to, I think, Semple one year and Nolan another year. This time around, I think it's very viable to put them in Croke Park if you put the hurling fixture with them, and it benefits both games.
Yeah.
I think for anyone who wants to go, Clare Limerick probably won't sell out on the Sunday. So even if you are a Clare Limerick Camogie fan and you want to go and go enjoy the whole day, good luck getting a train ticket. That might be the only problem. But if you're driving up, you're grand.
Yep,
the trains, I believe, are booked out across the board.
And the same,
everyone's come from the one direction that weekend.
I was talking to Amy O'Connor and she was saying about how great it was getting on the Cork footballers bandwagon. She was like, I'm firmly on it now as well. She's like, we'll just take the supporters now on the Sunday. So that's 3:30 p.m. in Parky Rin for Cork and Waterford on Sunday, 3:30 p.m. in Athenry for Tip and Galway. And you're heading to Offaly.
Yeah, I'm going to Burr, the home of hurling, the home of the first All-Ireland hurling final, to watch Clare against Offaly. Look, again, it's one of the things, I don't think that Offaly are going to beat Clare. I would agree with you on that one. But I think the fact that Offaly have come back up from intermediate and have consolidated their status with the game to go, the most important thing were the wins against both Dublin and Wexford. And yeah, it's set up very nicely. And again, the Wexford game was part of a doubleheader, which worked out really well before Offaly beat Wexford in the hurling as well. It was on those kind of nice days where it was almost like both games fed into each other.
Yeah.
And it meant there was a good few people in Wexford in town that came up to watch. They might not have been at the whole Camogie game, but they went up to catch some of it. So...